The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nothing perfect or considered, but we're so damn good. It's the story of your life. You're moving down the page, and you know you're on your way. The story of your life, you live it every day. You can run, you run, but you won't get away. Go alone, you're coming up.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada, greetings to my 1,400 affiliates. I'm so 400, did I say 1,400? Well, I hope so someday. 400 affiliates across the United States. So glad you're with me. I'm Hugh Hewitt. It's Friday, it's hump day, and boy, do I have a story for you. There's a Jewish space laser. And since this show has long been accused of being an operation run by the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, and the Jews, I could be targeted at any time. So I want to get this out of the way early. Marjorie Taylor Greene, newly elected congresswoman from Georgia. This is a headline in the Times of Israel. Israel is our strongest ally in the world. Israel is as close an ally to us as Great Britain. There are the equal of Israel, like Australia, New Zealand. Well, I'm not even sure about New Zealand, given they won't let our nuclear ships call in their ports. But Australia, Japan, England, we have got strong allies. Canada. But Israel's right there. Boom. Our strongest ally. So this appears in the Times of Israel this morning. Marjorie Taylor Greene blamed deadly forest fire on Rothschilds and space lasers. It reads, among the many posts being unearthed in renewed scrutiny of Marjorie Taylor Greene's social media history, and one in which the new congressman is one in which the new congresswoman implicated Rothschild Inc. in connection with a deadly forest fire that she wrote was started using laser beams from space. In the post, Greene offers a mix of evidence-free speculation as to what caused the 2018 campfire in California, which burned more than 150,000 acres and killed 85 people. In reality, which is something with which the new congresswoman apparently deals only occasionally, the fire was determined to have been started by an electrical wiring short belonging to Pacific Gas and Electric. In the post, Greene noted that Roger Kimmel, a board member at Pacific Gas and Electric, was also the vice chairman of Rothschild Inc. Greene also wrote that PG&E had invested in technology to beam solar energy from space down to Earth. She claimed in the post that the technology had caused the fire. Now, when the Steve King problem arose, and if you recall, Steve King is a former congressman from Iowa who for a decade had a history of marginal comments right on the edge of nuttery and racism. When he stepped over that edge, the GOP stripped him of his committee assignments and basically exiled him. That is what the GOP leader needs to do with Congresswoman Greene. Now, Congresswoman Greene represents U.S. House District 14 in Georgia. And if you look it up, looks like a nice place to live. It's located north of the 20. and between the 59 and the 75. It starts just south of Chattanooga. It's on the Georgia-Tennessee border, runs down to the 20. It's to the west of Atlanta. It includes Rome and Dalton. I've got an affiliate in there. And I went and looked up, how did this lady win? Because none of us were watching in June the 14th congressional. It's a very safe Republican district. Well, not surprisingly, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 candidates in the Republican primary. Marjorie Taylor Greene collected 40% or 43,892 votes out of 108,000 votes. John Cohen collected 22,000. John Bargy, 9,000. Clayton Fuller, 7,400. Bill Hembree, 6,900. Kevin Cook, 6,600. Matt Lawridge, 6,200. Ben Bullock, 3,800. And Andy Gunther, 1,200. So Cohen and Green went to a runoff in August, and I don't know if anyone voted in that. So this is one of those classic, no, but she will not win. She will draw a primary challenge in 2 years. Because that's not the only thing Marjorie Taylor Greene has done. Now, I have been a Republican my entire life. I have voted for one Democrat once in a primary in California and one Democrat once in a primary in Virginia. I'm a Virginian now. When I lived in California, my friend John Campbell was absolutely going to win re-election. So in the primary, I voted for another friend of ours, John Graham. We all went to the same church together. It was a gentlemanly affair. I just wanted to make sure that John Graham got into the general so he could get crushed by John and they could continue to sing in the choir together. That's how gentlemanly politics is conducted. So I voted for John Graham. And then I voted for Bernie Sanders in the presidential primary in 2020 in Virginia. Because Virginia allows me to vote for anyone I want to. It's an open primary system, which I think is stupid. But since they're allowing it to me and President Trump was going to be the nominee, I voted for the person I most wanted to run against. I wanted to run against Bernie Sanders. I declared that on Meet the Press. No secret. You let me vote in an open primary, I'm going to strategically vote for the person I think will roll over like a freight train. But I don't know who got the nomination for Congress in my Virginia district because it's a deeply Democratic district. And what we have here is an aberration. And this aberration is hurting us with our major ally in the Middle East. It's hurting the Republican Party. It's hurting the country. It is nuttery. Her nuttery has gone beyond this to explicit calls that indicate violence is appropriate against members of Congress. She did this, by the way, after a Bernie Sanders supporter tried to shoot the entire GOP congressional caucus on the softball field. So I don't think it's funny to talk about executing congressmen or shooting congressmen. That happened a mile from my home. I know Steve Scalise. I know a lot of people that were on that softball field. I don't think this is funny at all. I think every person who invaded Congress should be arrested and tried to the full extent of the law. I also know, and this does not justify anything it did, I know that the left is exploiting the extremism on the right. A very good friend sent to me last night an article about Christian nationalism. I know what that is. That's an attempt to paint Christians as crazy. That's an attempt to marginalize mainstream evangelicals and mass-attending Catholics as somehow associated with this nuttery, with this leaning towards violence. And I know the usual suspects went out and rounded up a whole bunch of academics who say that Christian nationalism is on the rise in the United States and you ought to be worried. And this is intended to delegitimize evangelical participation in politics. I know all that. And I tell you the way to stop it is to expel from your ranks crazy people and people who hold extremist views. Expel them. So Leader McCarthy, my friend, my dear friend who has done an excellent job running the GOP, remove her from the Education Committee. Do not allow her to caucus with the Congress, with the GOP. She was elected by the people of the 40th. I do not think you should remove her. I would recommend people consult the Adam Clayton Powell cases from the Supreme Court annals of long ago. It is up. If the people of a district wish to send a marginal individual to the Congress to represent them, they may do so. It is likely they will, in the case of Adam Clayton Powell, he was removed and was reelected by the people of his district because he was beloved by the people of his district. It is unlikely that Marjorie Taylor Greene will be reelected. But look, and I want to get this in and on the record before the space laser gets me. We don't have to pretend that this is normal. We should not pretend this is normal. I noted, I went and looked at her. She is holding town halls. She is representing Republicans. She does not represent me. Her first act in Congress was to introduce articles of impeachment against Joe Biden on January 21st. All right, we don't need this. We do not need this. We do not want this. We have nothing to do with this. This is not the Republican Party. Let's be clear. There is no such thing as Christian nationalism as anything other than a fringe movement on the far right having nothing to do with conservative Christianity or Republicanism. Let's get rid of the fringe quickly. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt on a Friday. Boy, do I love Fridays. As many of you know, I am married to the fetching Mrs. Hewitt for 38 plus years, and with a wife of longstanding comes a big family. Now, our big family is as diverse as most big families. My brother-in-law is a veteran of the Marine Corps, 25 years, retired as lieutenant colonel, 2 tours in Vietnam. He may be characterized as to the right. And my sister-in-law, who's been staying with me for the past week, staying with us, may be described as left of left. And in between, we've got everything. We've got active duty F-8 plane pilots and active duty SEALs, and we've got absolutely left-wing Bernie bros. We've got everything. So we got a rule. We have one rule. No politics. No politics. None. Well, after a week yesterday, my beloved sister-in-law, and she was like a grandmother to my kids when they were little, whenever the fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I had to get away, I love my sister-in-law. She would come and stay with them, but she is to the left of left. And she broached January 6th. And my reaction was, no, 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 zip it. Do you remember?
You can't even zip it. Zip.
Look,
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit A.
Number two, would you please back
Look,
me up?
Look, I'm Zippy Longstockings.
I can't.
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Frau, would you please?
Jesus, I been the one. Mita here at all. Subtitle, zip it.
I'm just trying
zip. To... Zip! Would you like to have a suckle of my zipper?
I want zip. You... Stop!
Zip it! Zip it! Is... Zip it. Oh, zip it.
You know...
Zip it.
You're like a child.
Zip it.
Talking... If you... Just... One time...
That is Austin Powers telling Scott... That's Dr. Evil telling his son Scott, zip it. That's what we do. We say zip it. But not on this show. We do anything but zip it. That is why, and I want to bring this to your attention, in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, since the new year began, we have 5 new affiliates. We've got WYOO 101.1 in Panama City, Florida. We've got WSGQ 103.3 in Columbia, Alabama. We have WWTK 7:30, big signal in Sebring, Florida. Welcome, Florida. WALG 1590 in Albany, Georgia. Welcome. I've got 14 affiliates now in Georgia. It's great to have Peach State with me. And WXKX 1340 in the heart of West Virginia and Clarksburg. And more on the way. Why are they rolling in? Because of facts. Because of news that you can use and analysis that you need. And if you listened to this show yesterday, you heard me tell everyone before the market opened, I warned all of the kiddos who are out there having fun with GameStop and AMC and trading their hearts out in Robinhood, be careful, it's musical chairs, the music is going to stop. And the music stopped yesterday. The music stopped yesterday. Now, if you had listened to me and at 9:30 got your sell shares in, you did not get screwed. But early in the day, Robinhood stopped trading. Why? Because there's something called capital calls. There's something called reserves. And Robinhood overnight had to go out and get $1 billion to prop up their nice little platform where young investors try and beat. I mean, this is crazy. This is as though, Dwayne, who's the best NASCAR driver? Who is the absolute very best NASCAR driver?
Of all time or currently?
Currently.
I have no idea. I haven't watched NASCAR in 2 years.
Well, who would you say? Give me a name. Yeah, this is my producer. Honest to goodness.
Chase Elliott.
All right. So this is like, hey, Chase, I'd like to race you. But you can't see anything and you're uncoordinated. Ah, let's get in the cars. Let's go around the track, Chase. And if I were to get in a car with Chase, that's like the kids on Robin Hood trying to beat Wall Street. All right. There's going to be a crash. You might take Chase with you. That could happen. But you're going to end up turned over and on fire. And sure enough, it happened. So I repeat what I tell you yesterday. They're going to reopen Robinhood today. They raised $1 billion overnight to meet their equity reserves, their cash reserves. Get out. Do not do this. This is not something you try at home. You do not know how to beat the bigs. They spend all day. They go to business school. They have algorithms. They have those giant buildings full of quants who are going to crush you like ants. Get out. I'll be right back with Sonny Bunch on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. If you had told me in my 65th year I could not go to the movies, I might not have gone to 65. I used to attend 3 movies a week up until 2020, and I have been to 2 movies this year, and I blame Sonny Bunch. He did not see it coming. He is the official movie critic of the Hugh Hewitt Show, and he failed to warn us that this was happening. Hello there, Sonny Bunch. How are you?
Hey, Hugh. You know, I actually did see this coming, though, is the thing. I watched this disease travel across the world in the pages of the trade magazines, right? I was able to, I actually like literally saw the theater shut down in China and then shut down in Italy and then France and then England. It literally like traveled across the world in the pages of the trades. I never thought it would get quite as bad as it did.
When do you think reopening is actually going to happen? Where you and I will, you know, first of all, I'm not vaccinated yet. I'm not eligible yet. But when I can get vaccinated, I will be in a movie theater the next day if any of them are open. It is really like withdrawal.
Yeah. Well, so in theory, you could go now depending on where you live. I mean, in Texas, they are open. You could go to a movie theater. The trick is there's just not a ton of stuff in the movie theaters to the point that a bunch of them have decided to stay closed. I mean, the local Alamo Draft House here has not reopened. Some of the theaters are running on just weekend schedules. But here it's an interesting question, you know, because for a while it looked like the theaters themselves were in very, very bad shape and some of them may go under. And it's still the case. I mean, let's not get out over our skis just yet. But the But there was an interesting story this week with the day trading, the big Robin Hood mess. One of the stocks that the Redditors were very interested in was AMC stock, the movie theater chain. And what was really interesting about this was AMC took advantage of this and issued some new stock that sold at like $13 a share. Which was way higher than the $2 or $3 a share it had been trading at for a long time, and also cashed out some of their own stock. And in so doing, managed to wipe out about $600 million of their own debt.
No kidding!
So they took advantage of this kind of crazy meme-driven stock market manipulation, for lack of a better term.
Oh, Sonny, I just got done telling all of those kids on Reddit that musical chairs is going to end and they're going to get screwed. That's my second day in a row of warning them. But if it got AMC off the floor, I'm all for a speculative frenzy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, AMC is still has some issues. It's still, you know, there are still some things they need to be worried about. The biggest of them being, again, not a lack of content. And there's a new movie out this weekend, which we'll talk about in a second. But, you know, it's also on HBO Max.
May I test a theory with you before you go to your review? The Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I gave in and we watched News of the World on a fairly good new television, which isn't giant, but it's not small. And she turns to me in the middle of it and says, this movie is intended to be seen in a theater. And that, because it's not a very good movie on a small screen, and it might have been Robert Duvall or Kevin Costner, open range, breathtaking on a big screen. Is that what happened to News of the World?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair way to describe it. It's a Western. It's a Western with the big sweeping landscapes and, the, you know, there are a couple of very good action sequences, and there's a big scene in a sandstorm that I bet would sound really great in a movie theater.
I hadn't even thought of that. Yep, I was thinking about the boulder scene, which doesn't come. It comes across like a 1950s movie in black and white with on a small screen.
Yeah. So I mean, I think there's definitely an element to seeing these things in a theater that we are missing out on right now. But I would say, so the movie I want to talk about this week, the Little Things, is the new Denzel Washington, Jared Leto, Rami Malek movie about a serial killer, about a night stalker-esque serial killer.
Is Denzel a good guy or a bad guy?
Well, Denzel's a police officer in this. He's a detective who was working a case so hard that he had to leave the Los Angeles Police Department. It drove him a little bit crazy. So now he's a small town cop out in the wilds of California, and he comes back to Los Angeles when the serial killer starts acting up again.
Wait a minute, Sonny, didn't Denzel play the good cop, bad cop, and the same cop once before?
I don't know. He definitely used to play. It's funny. This is kind of a throwback to like early '90s Denzel Washington type movies, right? Like The Bone Collector
Training Day. Wasn't he in Training Day?
Well, he was in Training Day, right? And
that's it. That's it. It's Training Day. Good cop, bad cop, and the same cop.
No, it's not exactly like that. I mean, this is a little bit different. This is again, it feels more like one of those like early to mid '90s serial killer movies. There were a ton of them. I mean, they were all over the place. And this is kind of in that vein. Rami Malek plays a kind of hotshot young detective who's on the case and is trying to crack it. Rami Malek, everyone will remember as Freddie Mercury from the relatively terrible Queen biopic Bohemian Rhapsody.
I loved it. That won
a bunch of Oscars, and he won an Oscar for it. Denzel Washington, of course, has an Oscar, and Jared Leto is in this as the suspect, the serial killer suspect. He has also won an Oscar. There's a ton of acting firepower here, and it's a pretty solidly acted movie. It's the best thing about it for sure. I can't really talk about why the movie.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Without spoiling it too much. No spoilers. But I would say it's a little bit dramatically inert, and in part that's because it feels like the movie isn't that interesting. It's a thriller without a ton of thrills. I'll put it that way. And it's a murder mystery where they're not super interested in solving the actual murder at the heart of the story. But it's an interesting little flick.
You know, Sonny, I once watched Denzel Washington swing at a baseball in his backyard while building a fence for 2.5 hours and thought it was a good movie. So yeah, I will watch Denzel Washington do anything.
I mean, that's the thing is Denzel Washington is a very good actor. And he's just great to watch. It's always nice having him on screen, large or small. And this is a movie that I think plays. This is a movie that I think plays on the small screen as well as it would on the big screen. I
mean, that was nice my question. Okay, so this you nice can watch this on HBO Max.
Sure, sure. It is in theaters now as well. You know, HBO Max and Warner Brothers are doing this thing where they're putting everything this year in theaters and on HBO Max at the same time. But you're probably okay staying home and watching this one at home. And there's an interesting little companion piece to this. Not really. It's not technically a companion piece, but it they work very well together. The Netflix has a new docuseries out about the Night Stalker.
People who live, the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt lived the Night Stalker. I cannot imagine watching this.
Yeah, so I mean, I did not live the Night Stalker. I'm a little bit younger, you know. I didn't grow up out on the West Coast, so it was all pretty new information to me. And it's interesting. It's interesting.
It freaked everybody out, Sonny.
Yeah,
I mean, talk to anyone of a certain age, anyone who's about 60 to 85, and they're going to be freaked out if they were West Coasters because that guy roamed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was the interesting thing is that this guy he didn't kill in one city. He was kind of all over, up and down California. He didn't really have MO. He just kind of walked into people's houses and did bad things. And it stretched on for, you know, a year. This killing was going on. It was pretty crazy.
So does the movie communicate how panicked California was? Because I wasn't living in California, but everyone I've been living there off and on for 30 years, everyone talks about it as being the summer of panic, much like Berkowitz in New York City in 78,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've talked with friends who do not think it did that. I thought it did a pretty good job of getting across it, like how strange and terrifying this was, but It's a Netflix documentary, which means that it's like 30% longer than it needs to be, like everything else on Netflix. So there's a modestly frustrating element to it. You know, it's only four episodes. Each episode is 45 minutes.
I agree with you. You think there's a clause in the contract? You must make this 35% longer than you wanted.
This is Netflix's whole thing is, you know, their real competitor is Sleep. It's not, you know, ABC or Fox or whatever. Their whole thing.
Have you written that down yet?
In the service.
That's
from the actual CEO. He said that years ago. You know, I can't take credit for that.
This is radio. We steal everything. It's like comics.
It's too long. It's too long, but it's still pretty interesting. And like I said, it makes a good companion piece with the little things because the Jared Leto character. And I realized this after. I mean, I saw the little things before the Night Stalker docuseries. And what I realized as I was watching the Night Stalker docuseries is, they have like clearly modeled some of Jared Leto's like tics and lines of dialogue on things that the Night Stalker said. It was like pretty.
Which would you watch first?
I'd probably watch the little things first.
All right. On that note, Sonny, I got to remind people where they can get Sonny Bunch's podcast. Is it the Bulwark Goes to the Movies?
The Bulwark Goes to Hollywood. It's on Apple. You can get it there, or you can sign up at plus.bulwark.com. Also, Across the Movie Aisle, which is the show that I do with Peter Suderman of Reason Magazine and Alyssa Rosenberg of the Washington Post. It's a little bit like... It's a little like Left, Right, and Center, but for the movies. But
Across the Aisle?
across the movie aisle. Across.
Oh,
movie
Sonny,
aisle.
That sounds terrific. Is that on wherever podcasts are carried?
It's wherever podcasts are carried. Again, you can get it at the Bulwark Plus, or it's on Apple. We have some.
Well, look up Sonny Bunch on Twitter at Sonny Bunch, official movie critic of the Hugh Hewitt Show. Good to have you back, Sonny. Back to your day trading post on Robinhood. I know what you've been doing, and you cannot use your airline miles on Robinhood, just so that you're clear on that. Thank you, Sonny Bunch. Across the movie aisle. I am going to listen to that podcast. Sonny, there are lots of great podcasts out there. I will tell you about them. Salem has opened up an entire podcast world. Go to salempodcast.com. We'll find out for you. Come right back on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Tarzana Joe is next. Joined now by the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Tarzana Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Hugh. You know, you suggested last week that I was too harsh in my assessment of the press, so I have attempted to turn a new leaf.
Oh, good.
If I had been a patriarch, there wouldn't have been a schism. The point of view that shapes my life has been ecumenism. I meet each contradiction with a chuckle and a smile. To blunt a confrontation, I will run a country mile. If you break your laws that you don't like, please do so with impunity, whatever measures it might take to grow the goal of unity. To move the country forward and this attitude advance, I've come up with a slogan, let's give Joe a chance. Join me in this movement, and we may just have a trend. It's always good to assay how far backwards we can bend. We may run out of oil, and there may be war with France. Don't be so contentious. Let's give Joe a chance. If I said I loved his record, you'd know that I was lying. But while he was a senator, I don't think he was trying. Power gives some moxie to that same old song and dance. Surrender to the mandate, and let's give Joe a chance. We ought to pledge allegiance to the plans that he's designing, although it seems uncertain that he's read the things he's signing. Invest in his ability, then quickly refinance. You get the man you voted for. So let's give Joe a chance. That's Unity Forever by Tarzana Joe.
You know, I doubt your sincerity, Joe.
Wow. And we've been together so long.
So long. You know, I also have a technical question.
Uh-oh.
How long is a country mile?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, when I was writing that, I thought, is a country mile shorter or longer than a city mile?
That's what I haven't heard that term in a long time. That must be a country term associated with I think it's longer.
I think so, too. But we will look into that grammatically. And
given the iterative nature of Tarzana Joe poetry, can we expect a poem on a country mile next week?
Not a chance.
Joe, you are taking commissions at TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And this will be
TarzanaJoe.com.
And the poems will be at TarzanaJoe.com. Joe, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Hugh.
I have just looked up Country Mile. Country Mile was first used in the year 1829. Did you know that? Synonyms and antonyms. Synonyms are afar, a far cry, a long haul, a mile. Antonyms are hair, inch, step, stone's throw. It does not actually tell us whether or not a country mile is longer or shorter than a mile. It means a far piece.
It means there's four CFRs in a country mile. You know what a CFR is?
No.
That's where you stand at one spot and you have to go as far as you can CFR. And then once you get to there...
Back to the weather center. Have you got the weather center, by the way? Can we bring up, because it's raining
wet.
In California.
It's raining and
can
wet.
We bring up the weather center camera on the Hugh Hewitt Show, please?
We are already doing so.
And so can you show us what the weather is in California right now?
Yes, I can. I can do that right here. Here is my official weather board. Here is California.
You have to watch YouTube to see this. So if you're watching us on the YouTube Hugh Hewitt Show.
This is exactly what's going on.
There you go. That's
all over the state.
All over the state. So we're finally going to have some green. Thank you very much, Generalissimo. Let me play for you Tom Cotton on Fox with Maria Bartiromo yesterday. This is important for teachers everywhere to hear. Cut number 11.
Look, Joe Biden and his entire team have said for a year, we follow the science. We're the party of science. Just tell us what the science says. Joe Biden's own CDC said the science is clear that schools are not sources of major transmissions of the virus. Yet his own chief of staff goes out that very same day and says, no, we can't go back to school. That's because Joe Biden and the Democrats are more focused on rewarding their political clients like teachers unions than they are helping kids. Schools have one purpose, that is to teach kids, not to employ adults. And as we've seen in Arkansas, where we've been in school since last fall, kids can go to school with proper safety precautions. They're not major sources of transmissions, and the teachers and the staff can teach them safely. That's what we need to do all across the country. That's what the government should be encouraging our schools to do, and why we've spent so much money over the last year to help them do that.
It is outrageous that any school is not back in session, at least at the elementary level. Also want to play for you Governor Ron DeSantis, also on Fox with Maria Bartiromo, which is quickly becoming the go-to news program on cable. Cut number 10.
Our home sales year over year 2020 up 24%, and a lot of people have been fleeing lockdowns. There's no doubt about it. I think we've done a couple things. One, we focus protection on elderly people rather than trying to shut the entire society down. So at the front end of the pandemic, I barred hospitals from discharging COVID patients back into nursing homes. That was able to save a lot of lives on the front end. And now here on hopefully the back end of the pandemic, our approach to vaccination is putting seniors first. We're focusing
on DeSantis don't believe New York, D.C. Beltway media. Ron DeSantis has done a great job in Florida. There are three heirs to Trumpism without Trump. Mike Pompeo, Tom Cotton, and Ron DeSantis. Now, the party in 2024 might turn to an alternative, but if they want Trumpism without Trump, they're going to pick Pompeo or DeSantis or Cotton. That is my humble estimate, and I'm not very humble. When I come back, look, we're getting into Super Bowl madness. The best article ever written on the Super Bowl is from 1988, and I have it for you because you deserve a break today. It's Friday. It is the Hugh Hewitt Show. Stay tuned. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.